Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find Sports Grid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
And welcome back. It's hour two here of Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Joe Pizzapia with you here on Sports Grid, recapping our top stories of the day. Joe, the NHL has put together a 24-team postseason as we expected them to. Some play-in games to see who gets the top four seeds, some play-in games at the bottom as well. And unfortunately, late yesterday, Major League Baseball with yet more labor strife here with a proposal. Essentially, it's being reported by the USA Today and ESPN, essentially saying that this proposal includes the top-end players, the higher-end salaried players taking pay cuts for 2020, if indeed there is a season. That's what we've led off with today.
Did they give a threshold with that of where that would be, what the demarcation is between the highest threshold, a certain dollar amount, perhaps, or something like
no,
that?
No, curious. And again, the reporting is being done by the really good insiders at this point on, you know, sourcing, so they're not, okay. I mean, maybe by the time the show ends, Joe, or even as we're doing the show, we could get that information when it becomes more public. But remember, this is all, you know, strictly being rumored sourced right now. So
I was just curious because if it is, you know, say over $20 million a year, that's a very large number. So just for whatever that is, and I'm saying they're not deserving of the contracts they signed. They absolutely are. That's why they signed them. But it is interesting to know if indeed a number does come out, or maybe that deal gets, you know, squashed altogether and it never even gets off the table. Who knows? We'll find out. Major League Baseball, it's never boring when it comes to negotiations with the labor union.
No, and they basically have a few days to get this figured out, or else just forget it, honestly. One way or the other. I'd rather them just cancel it and not have this, you know, the bickering back and forth than figuring it out.
Well, I mean, I'd like them to, I mean, they've had a lot of time here to figure it out. I feel like we've had nothing but time.
Baseball is about deadlines.
I feel like there's two unions in this country. It's the Teamsters and the Major League Baseball Players Union. That's the two most powerful unions, I would say, in America. Do you think that's wrong or no?
Probably so.
and you could argue,
hard to argue
at
that.
Times. Who's more, who's more,
and the Sports Grid editors, those three.
And the Sports Grid editors, phenomenal union of guys.
They're like a band of brothers, those guys.
They are. The cigarette breaks, though. I mean, I'm worried about them. There's a lot of cigarette breaks in that country.
Are there still cigarette breaks these days?
No, there's not even vaping breaks anymore. I don't know what the breaks are. Like, I don't know what, I'm curious what the guys do, you know, for break time. I don't know.
It's funny because when I was editing my old TV show, you're right, the editors used to always smoke and take cigarette breaks. And
everybody took cigarettes.
Because I was sitting there in the production, and they're like, all right, time for a cigarette break. I'm like, oh, great. All right, what am I? And then I'd go out, and they would expect me to go out there with them.
Oh,
and
yeah. Just, like, oh, as an actor.
Yeah, you're right.
For almost two decades, I can tell you, everybody smoked pretty much but me. I like the occasional cigar, but I mean, every actor pretty much is smoking. And they, again, it's like this whole thing, and they're all out there smoking. You want to go hang out with your friends, and you want to go talk about stuff going on. But, you know, you're just out there, and everyone's
they
smoking.
They expect you to like, spend the break with them.
Yeah, absolutely. It's
and
outside.
Like,
sometimes
I'm
it's
like,
cold.
Can you just wrap it up already?
You know, yeah, like, can you go in? Seriously, I'm with you, dude. There you go. Look at us coming together again.
Like that.
No more smoke breaks. All right, let's get back to work.
Player props for 2020. When it's all said and done, Joe's favorite player in the history of the NFL will end up being Aaron Rodgers. There's no question. He's a huge Aaron Rodgers fan. And last year, toward the end of the year, we started to see a little bit of regression from Rodgers. And so FanDuel, when they put out their passing yards numbers for him this season, certainly would indicate that there's going to be a little bit of a step back for Rodgers this season. But is that the case? I don't know, because when you look back, Joe, at the last 4 years that Aaron Rodgers has played, he has gone over that total three of the last 4 years, and two of them not particularly close. Of course, in 2017, as you see there, he only played seven games, and then the Packers were a complete disaster the remainder of the season. I think he actually came back at the end, but it wasn't the same. So, look, this is probably a swan song for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I suppose this could go down like Garoppolo, where he could come back, have a monster season. They could push Love back a year or two, maybe trade Jordan Love, who knows. But I don't think that that's the plan. I mean, I think the plan is that this is it for Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay.
I think two more years contractually that they're looking at. It makes sense for him for
maybe.
Two more.
I don't know, but this could be it. I mean, this very well could be it for him. You never know when it's it.
No,
it's
true.
Could be it. So... there's only one way I think this is going to go. I'm sorry, two ways.
That's like over
it's
or
only
under.
Two ways it can go. It could be over or under. I can flip a coin.
Man, but the bottom line that's is, why I think he gets the big bucks, everybody.
I think this is going to go very well for him this year, and he is going to kick
the wheels
some, you
fall
know what?
Off. No mediocre.
Or it's okay. Going to be the end.
All right.
I don't think there's middle ground for Rodgers.
Well, look, it's not that I can't stand Aaron Rodgers. I'm not a huge Aaron Rodgers guy. The problem is
not saying Aaron Rodgers. Just call it whatever.
No, but here's the thing. I get annoyed when people want to put Aaron Rodgers in the same category as Montana and Brady and Marino, and because he's not that kind of guy.
Like, no, but he's right there after. He is.
I will name 10 quarterbacks off the top of my head that I would take over Aaron Rodgers to start a football team, and I will do it quite easily. That is not a problem. I've done it before. I'll do it again on this show if we have to.
You don't have to.
Is he around 10? Yeah, absolutely. Is he in the top five? Absolutely not. I'm sorry. You got to win more than one Super Bowl. You got to get there more than once in order to think you're a top five all-time quarterback. You know, there's guys like Johnny Unitas. We got Montana. We've got Brady. We got all these guys. Well, that's a conversation for another time. And Elway and blah, 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 blah. I don't even know if he's the best Packer quarterback of all time. It might be Brett Favre when we go and digging through the numbers and everything. But this number seems low to me. I get it. I understand where some of the concern is coming, and I have concern. I look at the game log. Gone are the... Oh, he's got 6 or 7 300-yard games. You know, gone are the Aaron Rodgers fantasy games where he wins you the week by himself. Maybe he's got 1 or 2 of those every year lately, but that's not what we're used to. And I think when I was writing up the Aaron Rodgers Black Book profile for the quarterbacks this year, that was the big thing that stuck out. When you go through the game log and you peel through and you look and you say, man, there's just not a lot of these winning week games. And when you're looking at QB1s, that's what you want. You want to make an investment on a guy who can win. Even Josh Allen's that guy. Kyler Murray's that kind of guy, I think, statistically speaking. Aaron Rodgers? Not really. Aaron Rodgers is better off in a grouping where you compare him with another quarterback and kind of play the best situation and kind of just pick and choose week to week. However, I think $38.99 is low. I'm going to go over that number. I'd be very surprised if the wheels came off. I would.
Very surprised.
I know you are. I know you are, but I have respect for Aaron Rodgers. I just don't want to anoint him as the greatest quarterback ever, and he's not one of the greatest. I mean, he's even of the guys playing now. He's behind Breeze. He's behind Brady. Peyton Manning recently retired a few years ago. He's behind him. So that's three guys right there. Let's not even talk about Elway and Unitas and Montana.
Behind Breeze?
Absolutely. Have you seen the stats of Drew Breeze? Do you know where Drew Breeze is all time in passing yards and touchdowns and all these other numbers that Aaron Rodgers is never even going to sniff those numbers? Not even come close to those stats. No, I almost said bruh, but I didn't want to start a fight. I got really mad. I almost said bruh, but I didn't want to do that.
You know, I wouldn't have fought. There's this little red button.
You think Drew Brees is
on the computer?
You think that Aaron? If you haven't hit that button by now,
yeah. I mean, Rodgers won two Super Bowls or one? Just one. Yeah. It's close. I don't know. Very close for me. But anyway, regardless of that, so you're going to go under pass for me.
Pass for you. That's fair. That's fair. That's the coward's way out. Way to go.
Wait till I make you actually have to make a bet. Yeah. Don't even go there.
I'm just messing with you. I'm messing with you.
We're gonna make you put some money on these things.
That was a beautiful react. Can we look at that face? Can we get a screenshot on social media of that face?
It's like that meme.
You know, some days Craig pokes me, and some days I poke Craig. I finally got a shot in there. Let's go to the next guy.
pass. I'm a quarterback. I'm a passer. All right. Daniel Jones of the Giants. His number is 37.99.5 and -112. FanDuel's stuck on that -112 odds. And last year he threw for 3,000 yards in 12 games. So, man, if he just prorated this thing, he's going way over this total. But you got to assume health. You got to assume he won't be benched. I think it's fair to assume all those.
The alarm also writes for the Black Book. He had a fantastic little nugget here in the Black Book coming out June 1st for football. He said, not one game last year did Daniel Jones play with all of his wide receivers, Evan Ingram and Saquon Barkley. Not one. So let's give him a couple of those games at least where he's got all of his weapons at once, because that's a lot of guys there to choose from. I mean, Slayton had a really nice rookie year, I thought. Tate performed very well. Sterling Shepard, still a very useful wide receiver. Saquon, all world. Evan Ingram, one of the better tight ends in the league. Let's give this kid a better offensive line. Let's give him all of these weapons at least one time in his career, and let's see what the kid can do. I don't think he's a 4,000-yard guy yet, but I think 3,800 is certainly well within his reach. That's almost like a standard number in the NFL now. Like, that's, you know, you've got to come close between 35 and, you know, 37 is really like, that's the lower tier, man. Those are guys that are really not your, like, we're talking Gardner Minshew type quarterbacks where we're expecting those kind of numbers. I think Daniel Jones is a tad better than that. Now, the thing about Jones is he's going to use his legs, so sometimes that might hurt these passing totals just a tad. But I would go over as well on this one, and I think I would like to finally see Daniel Jones play a full season healthy with at least most of his pieces healthy all year, because that is something. I don't know if you knew that he didn't play the entire season without that entire group one time together. That's pretty staggering.
Yeah, I mean, usually that's a big part of success, and so that's a good indicator, too. The other thing is that there is usually a pretty significant jump from a lot of quarterbacks from year one to year two. Mm-hmm. So I would think that is a possibility there. Giants also not playing the best schedule in the world, tougher schedule than they had the year before that. And I don't think, as far as I know, there really isn't a guy that if Jones was struggling, I know that there are some teams that like to say to their quarterback, hey, let's take a step back. Let's just like have you watch for a week. We've seen that in the past too. I don't feel like that will happen with Jones. I do like the receivers they have there. You know, getting healthy receivers is going to be certainly important. Getting Ingram back is important. Barkley back is important. They just had a lot of issues on the offensive side of the football last year. So I would also lean toward the over. But again, on FanDuel or anywhere else, unless you think a number like this is going to jump by 200 yards, I'll wait right until the season starts. Because if Daniel Jones decides tomorrow to go swimming in the pool and
hurts his toe, and then all of a sudden... What would be the point? What is the point? Hanging out by the pool, hurting shoulders. Now, we don't want that. But, you know, when you think about these names, as you were talking, I was kind of thinking about it. There's not a lot of teams in the league that have three quality wideouts, a really strong running back, and a strong tight end. How many teams can say that? Not a whole lot in the NFL.
Not a lot.
And I think the Giants can. And that O-line did get better in the draft. I think they did a good job there. So we'll see what happens. I think the Giants are going to surprise some people. Not a playoff team, but surprising.
Well, 7 wins would be a big surprise to a lot of people. That'd be going over their win total over at FanDuel, by the way. If you're going to make a bet, make sure you go ahead and do it there. All right, we'll be right back with some more player props in the NFL. Next, we hit on a couple of running backs, one that led the league in rushing and another that's just been super consistent. I think you know the names. If not, we'll give them to you next. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is going to be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. We took a look at quarterbacks in our previous segment, and every single day during the week, we're taking an early look at the props for players at the FanDuel Sportsbook, so make sure you go ahead and check those out. As soon as we get sports back, probably no need to do this, but for the time being, since this is what we got, we're giving it to you. We've been looking at quarterbacks and running backs all week long, and last week as well, and today we're going to go over to a couple of guys who really do it on the ground in terms of rushing. And again, they do catch the ball out of the backfield, but we had some of that focus, I think, on yesterday's show, one of them especially being Christian McCaffrey. But today, Joe, we're going to focus in on a couple of running backs who are going to, in order for them basically to hit their total on the season, a lot of it is going to have to come running the football and not through the air.
Yeah, that's definitely the case. And I know there were some guys last year that hit around this 1,500 mark, and Derrick Henry being one of them. But that is a tough number to reach in back-to-back seasons, and history will tell you that in these last couple of years in the NFL. Also because the NFL is just very different, and one of the major points, too, is that this offense in Tennessee, when we talk about Derrick Henry, is a little different to start the year, potentially, than they were where they started the year in 2019. So that's something to take into account as well when you're trying to evaluate these numbers.
Well, I really think that for Derrick Henry in particular, I think it's a little bit different, and I'll explain to you why. Henry did not get the same sort of usage that running backs of his pedigree had to this point. 2017, 2018, it was almost like they found him by accident. Now, I know he was drafted very high, and he was a stud at Alabama, make no mistake about it, but they didn't really use him in the right way, and he doesn't really have the volume that some of the other running backs have. Now, last year, 2019, no mistake about it, let's put a big circle on the 2019 season, and then make no mistake about it, if you're in a dynasty league in fantasy football, if you're coveting guys like Derrick Henry, you're making a huge mistake. I'd rather have Edwards-Helaire for the next 5 years than Derrick Henry, because inevitably it happens. It happens to almost all of them. We talk about these running backs here on the show. We name 10, 8 are out of the league after 3 years.
I mean, well, even what you said, I want to say yesterday, the day before, here on FST, you made a great point, which is how many guys were in the first round year over year the last couple of years at running back. And I said, Ezekiel Elliott, Saquon Barkley were the two, and Christian McCaffrey after that, right? You don't know. I mean, it fluctuates so much year to year who those guys are and where they end up. And it's just the truth. It's where this league is. It's part of the specialization of running back. It's also part of the fact it's a passing league. So these guys get in there, they get burned out, and they move on to the next one. And that's why you see a lot of these running backs now who used to get drafted in the first round or early first round sometimes make it to the second or even third round. And they end up having good careers, but like you said, usually typically very short. And in terms of investments in fantasy long term, it's always better. And these dynasty drafts, you know, people all the time say, oh, no, I want to go right after the Taylors of the world. Like, why would you want to take Taylor number one when you could take Joe Burrow and own him potentially for the next 7-8 years
about
and
20?
Have good football? Or 20? Or, well, I mean, I'm trying to, like, just be realistic. Somewhere in the middle.
It also depends on the league and the format of Superflex and
it
all that.
It does, but, and it doesn't.
Having
a great quarterback, you can lock that in, and then you can spend capital other places every year.
It is in a Superflex, but if you're not starting two quarterbacks and it's a 12 or 14 team league in a dynasty, you're still going to go down the road of a running back or receiver. You're going to do it. I mean, that's just it's just a fact, I think. But I finish last in this league every year, so don't listen to me. Yeah. All right, listen.
And I'm a Superflex champion. I just want to point that out.
I know, but I'm not in a Superflex. All right, 2020 player props for Derrick Henry. 1509 is his total. -112, under 1509. Last year, his yards were 1746. The year before, 1158. Joe, the only reason in 2018 the yards were 1158 is because he wasn't being used. He will be a hot topic. I'm seeing the hot takes already in fantasy. It's like, look at me, I'm picking Henry not to be good this year, like that, or look at me, I'm picking him to be the best this year. Like, I mean, that's it feels like that's the direction that we're headed with Henry. You're either going to go all in or you're going to go all out. I don't know why it has to be like that on any particular player, but if that's really what you feel, then fine, then go with it. But if you don't, you're just looking for a hot take, trust me, find something else. This is not the guy to have a hot take on. No, I'm going to go over on Derrick Henry. I'm sold on what I saw last year from him. Again, the key for me with running backs in the NFL, it is the usage. That's it. That's all it is. A guy can last in the league 3 or 4 years, and then I'm just betting against him every single time. Who would I have been wrong on? Adrian Peterson. Who would I have been right on? Everybody else.
Fair
in the last 10 years. That's basically it. We're about to have another guy, another anomaly, which will be the guy that we're about to talk about next in Ezekiel Elliott. Outside of that, it is a downhill spiral from about year three on. Joe, is there a downhill spiral coming for Henry this year?
Well, the thing with Ezekiel Elliott, too, just real quick, is this is a guy who was drafted in the first round as a rookie. In the Black Book, he was in the first round as a rookie. Saquon Barkley was. There are certain guys that are transcendent. I'm worried that people are trying to make Clyde Edwards-Helaire that guy because of the circumstance, and that's the wrong thing. And you could already see that groundswell where it's going from, oh, he could be a really good third, fourth round value to, oh my God, I have to take him in the second round. No, thank you. Pass.
I'm going to hit the button. Go to Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry, for me, is, and I, not a hot take guy. I told you last year in bold predictions, we did it together on the show together. I put it there, right there for everybody here. He was my pick to lead the league in rushing.
2020, Derrick Henry.
2020, he's going to lead the league in rushing again.
Okay, there you go. All
right. Okay, and it's not a hot take. It's because of,
I'm not saying that's a hot take. Listen, if you genuinely feel that way, then that's fine. But I feel like I'm watching the community on this particular player go one way or the other.
You're right.
No middle ground.
But
there's always middle ground.
Well, I'm
going to
give you the middle ground. Ready? Here you go. I think he's going to lead the league in rushing again, but I think 1,500 is a huge number. I think we're going to dial that back just a little bit. I think maybe somewhere in the 1,350 or 1,400 range.
Is that enough to lead the league in rushing?
I think it will this year because I don't see outside of potentially Saquon Barkley. Christian McCaffrey is not going to get most of those yards rushing. When I'm looking at people like Dalvin Cook, there's potential holdouts for Dalvin Cook and Joe Mixon. There's also guys like Madison where there's...
Well, that may be a better bet is to take him
is you look at Nick Chubb, who was second in rushing last year. Now he's got Kareem Hunt there for an entire season, not week 10, but an entire season. So I don't think the threshold number is going to be as high. I don't think it needs to hit to 1,500 to win. I think you can hit that 1,400 range and win this still. And I don't think that's a hot take. I think this is the in the middle you're searching for, where I'm still in on Derrick Henry. Yards are yards. Is he a PPR guy? No. Is he going to have 1,500 yards when all said and done? And maybe 1,800 or 1,700 all-purpose? Yes. So who cares how he gets them? Yeah, you might miss a couple points, but you know what? He's going to make up those PPR points in the amount of touchdowns he scores because he scores a ton of touchdowns, too, last time I checked. So take the yards, take the touches, take the touchdowns, take Derrick Henry and stop everybody whining and crying about how Derrick Henry's no good. And take him in PPR. I'm sick and tired of hearing this. I would rather have Derrick Henry next year than Nick Chubb. And I know that might surprise a lot of people, but I know exactly what Derrick Henry's workload is going to be. I do not know what Nick Chubb's is, and I do know one thing. The trend last year when Kareem Hunt showed up is the target volume went from 6 or 7 targets a game for Nick Chubb down to 2 or 3. That is a huge swing, and that's not without him having a whole training camp and everybody all together. So for me, Derrick Henry, lead the league in rushing again, 1,509, I think is a high number I'm going to go under.
Okay, that's
see in the middle.
I don't know that that's possible. What you just proposed, but I mean that if that prediction comes true, then I will give you monster credit if this guy leads the league in rushing and it doesn't end up being 1,500 because I don't think that's possible. But
well, look,
I won't
there's only
rule,
two guys
I won't
that
rule
got,
it out.
Who were the two guys last year that got 1,500?
I don't know. You tell me.
Two: Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry. That's it. Two rushing 15. That's it. Everybody
what about
else
the year
was
before
up,
that.
I don't care about the year. I'm talking about last year. I'm talking about the trend right now. Who are the other guys? It's not Alvin Kamara.
That's a weak argument on your part. You know.
Who's the other?
We'll go back.
You want me to go back? I'll pull it up.
Give me like a 3-year average, man.
Sure. I'll tell you what.
1 year?
You give me time on the break. I'll come back with a 3-year average. But at least last year, the trend is going in that direction. And give me the other names of the running backs. Alvin Kamara, great running back. Is he going to hit rush for 1,500 yards? Of course he's not. Christian McCaffrey, all world. Is he going to rush for 1,500 yards? No. The only guy that could possibly make a run at 15 here is Ezekiel Elliott. But with the way the Cowboys are
throwing, if Dalvin Cook plays 16 games, that dude's going over 1,500. You know that, too.
I understand that, but I'm telling you right now, it's the last year.
It's not. Listen, none of this is a black and white conversation. It's opinion, not fact. You've given your opinion. You've illustrated it. Let's move on to Ezekiel Elliott, 2020. His total is 1734, predominantly. This is total yards here. Remember that. Keep that in mind. Total yards for Ezekiel Elliott. -112 are the odds on everything else. 1734. 2 years ago, he had 500 yards receiving. So his total was over 2,000 in 2018. And then last year, he came back down to 1777. So this probably would be the last year I would take Ezekiel Elliott, and I would not care what would happen the following year. I just wouldn't do it, and that's a blind spot of mine. It's a fault of mine. It's a Nelson Cruz, David Ortiz of mine. It's just I'm not going to be the guy that's taking the old guy, or I'm not going to take the guy on the way down. I don't want to take that chance. But it's 2020 we're talking about. I don't have any reservations about Zeke this year because I still think he's in that window of success, but I think it's coming to an end.
I would stay away from this number because I just think it's spot on. So why would you want to lose by a yard either way? It just doesn't make much sense to me in terms of a good wager because I think it's right in the wheelhouse. And I will say this, too. His emergence in the passing game the last few years has been really something I think some of us would think is unexpected in the fantasy community. I think it's a great job by him. There's just a lot of mouths you could feed over there in Dallas. And I think that what makes it a little bit tougher. He's going to be right around there, so I'm going to pass on that one. And I will get you your list of annual rushing leaders when we come back and play that out. But at least, like I said, I'm trying to think Dalvin Cook, you can try to make that argument, but you just had a healthy Dalvin Cook. And let me know when you see that 16 games, because I've never seen
your, I'm
talking about the running back.
I think your blind spot in general is, What am I searching for? Your blind spot is ruling out the unpredictable, which is what sports is all about.
There is a chance
that Melvin Gordon rushes for 2,500 yards this year. We don't know. No, I mean, you laugh. We don't know. Things happen in sports.
It's just not that kind of league anymore. It's such a pass-heavy league.
I agree with you, but to say things are black and white is impossible.
They're not black and white. What I'm saying is the era we're in is very, very black and white. We know the era we're living in. Number one, guys don't get 25 touches a game, 25 carries a game. That rarely happens. Number two, you're talking about who are the best guys in the NFL. The best guys, the guys like Alvin Kamara, also catch the ball. They're not really just rushing all the time. Same thing with CMC. Saquon Barkley and Ezekiel Elliott are the two guys who can challenge him the most for that title, but I think you also look, and there's a whole lot of other options. Derrick Henry is the best option. He might be the only option when all is said and done on that
team. I think Cook is a phenomenal option, too.
I think he's a phenomenal talent.
There's no denying that.
Because it's true, of course.
But if he doesn't, will we look back on this conversation and say, well, that was the 1 year he didn't get hurt? He'll probably get hurt three more times after that. But
well, I have your numbers when we come back from break.
Okay. We'll be right back with running back numbers, as well as Nick Pollock will join us on the show. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As we get potentially ready for the 2020 fantasy baseball season, we're joined by Nick Pollack. And Nick, of course, has a big event coming up this weekend. Pitcher List, of course, is how you can follow them on Twitter. They do a great job breaking down pitchers, breaking down fantasy. And it'll be a lot of fun to have this discussion about the event and also the upcoming season as we get closer, I believe, to it. Nick, thanks for coming on Fantasy Sports Today. What's going on?
What is happening? Thanks so much for having me here today.
All right, Nick, so before we get to PitchCon coming up this weekend, I know I'll be participating in that. I know it's certainly going to get a lot of great minds in the fantasy baseball industry together. But before we get everyone together, we got to take a little bit of a look back here. The last few months for you, what has it been like not having fantasy, not having baseball? Has it been easy? Has it been difficult? What have you been doing with all of this time?
Yeah, this is really weird. I mean, we've been doing a lot of things in the back end of PitcherList. Like, we have a lot of things that we wanted to do for our next iteration next season that we've done a lot of focus on. But, I mean, I've watched some KBO. I've been playing MLB The Show a bit. I've been making a dent into, like, my dream article, which is, like, a 30,000-word article talking about everything I look at when I study a pitcher on the hill. But I mean, it's been weird. It's been so weird, Craig. When will it stop?
I mean, hopefully soon. I mean, I'm hopeful that this week that we have some sort of resolution and we have something. But I think right. The interesting part for me, Nick, is just asking different people who play fantasy and who follow the game how they're going to be approaching potentially this half season. I know that you and I chatted briefly about some of the topics to discuss, but inevitably, I think that a lot potentially will end up changing how we view things, how we view pitchers with the what looks like is the designated hitter for the entire league. I mean, there's so much to really unpack. Has it changed your view? Has it made pitchers better, worse?
Yeah, definitely. It's obviously not a catch-all here. There are certain guys that get elevated, some that might get pushed down a little bit. I mean, I will say this. There's a lot more affecting pitchers than I think hitters. Hitters, for the most part, unless we're really changing the fields a ton, it's kind of, all right, take what we had for 162 games and have it. I understand maybe if there are some slight elements when it comes to injuries there, but for the most part, we can kind of do that. With pitchers, though, you have guys with innings limits, for example. So you have like Luke Weaver, who we didn't really expect to go maybe a full 180 or 200. Now he becomes really interesting in a shortened season. Same, of course, with Julio Urias and Jesus Luzardo. And you can make a case also Brandon Woodruff being in there after pitching under 130 innings last season. So there are a lot of these pitchers that all of a sudden say, wait, I thought there were going to be massive headaches for me. I used to call them hipsters, that is headache-inducing pitchers that stifled the entire roster just because you didn't know when you'd get those effective innings from them. And now, well, 81 games or so, half a season, maybe then we actually get them for essentially a full season then, and they can be really productive for your squads. There's another pitcher there that's Shohei Ohtani that we weren't really expecting a ton of innings from this year. Now, I mean, I think a lot of people forget, like, he was a top 25 starter, 30% strikeout rate, yeah. Fantastic ERA and whip, and I'm so excited to watch Shohei Ohtani just be there through the full year with other pitchers as well. So he certainly gets a much bigger push, even if he's a two-way player or one-way, doesn't matter, or two different players, I should say. He's still going to benefit your team, I think, more so than we were planning back in March. But there's so many other things, too. There's veteran pitchers that actually we maybe put a price on them, a heavy weight, because they had a ton of innings and we're going to get that volume. Well, now they're not necessarily going to get that volume, but there are certain ones, I'd say like Zach Greinke, that you might want to push down, but maybe not because he actually is a high IPS guy, that is innings per start. So instead of going five and change, he could easily go seven in a given night and still be on the Astros, which are going to be a winning ball club, much to the chagrin of most of the major league fans. So there's some discussion to be had there. And obviously with injuries, I don't actually know where I side yet on this. Like, you could make two arguments. One, that those that are injury prone, well, there's less time for them to get injured. So we should be in on them then. Or there's the other argument that if they do get injured, they're missing a more significant chunk of the season. And maybe you don't want to risk any sort of problem there. I mean, James Paxton is likely still going to miss games, even though he has a healthy back now. Half of a season, he's probably going to get hurt at some time. Well, Charlie Morton, well, his injuries were at the end of the season normally, and I still think that he can go a full season of 3 months and actually stay healthy. So there are a lot of moving parts here, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's just really fun to talk about pitching again. And I pray that we, like, in a week, just in a week. That sounds so good that we can actually have right. something down where we can say, cool, this is what it is. This is likely what it means. That would be so great.
Yeah, it would, and hopefully that's the case. But I think the question becomes, Nick, is that you and Alex and everyone have been involved in a lot of fantasy drafts to this point. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they hold true? Do you think that you should be holding your fantasy teams? Do you think that commissioners should step in and basically redo all of our drafts? Where are you at on that?
That's a great question. I would say it has to be a league vote. I mean, I personally would redraft all of these because it's just not the same game. We drafted with so much uncertainty without knowing, you know, what was going to happen. And I feel that we would all want a new season. We understand now the terms of the agreement. And so I would say do a redraft personally. I understand those that really think like, no, we put in our time and effort on this and this is how it goes and things change. And you don't get the opportunity to change it based on things we didn't know about. So that's fair. I would say, Commissioner, make a league vote and see how your league feels.
Yeah. And for me, I think that that's crucial because, Nick, you know, so many things are just completely irrelevant from what happened early on in the season. And injuries are always going to happen. And like Syndergaard is not a good example of that because, right. you know, clearly that's going to happen over the course of a season. But just all of the players that were hurt that are now healthy and the fact that there's a DH involved, I think that there are so many yeah. things to unpack. I hope that there's a possibility that most commissioners will look at it and think it is a good idea to redraft, because I certainly am an advocate of that. I don't think that anybody should have to hang on to a team they drafted in February or March when Definitely. Essentially a season doesn't start until June. So let's talk about PitchCon coming up this weekend. A lot of people are probably learning about this for the first time watching this right now. How did you come up with the idea? How did you guys put this all together? I know I'll be participating in a conference this weekend, but let's talk about how it happened and the genesis of it.
First of all, I can't wait for your presentation. That's such a fantastic
perspective. I hope I have a good presentation.
Oh, no, the second that you suggested it to me, giving that perspective of saying, hey, I'm a MLB insider, but I also talk about fantasy in that translation. I think that's
so
fascinating.
I'm the only one that does that.
So. Right. So I was so excited to hear that, A, you want to be a part of it, and then, B, we're going to give that kind of presentation. But, yeah, so PitchCon, we're all at home, and I knew so many people in the industry that were just kind of – they were starving to do something, but didn't know how to do it because you can't really just write another basic article about something. Right. And I'm certainly someone that loves the tech world. I was a computer science minor and stuff. I'm very hyper aware of Twitch and just how live streaming is very much the direction we're going. And why not? Why not just gather everybody? We would want to be at a conference anyway. We all wanted to do Tat Wars, and I think that was the correct decision not to hold Tat Wars. Of course, it was, I mean, in New York City, the epicenter of this going on.
Yes.
March 11th and all. And so we're all kind of dying for us all to hang out, you know, to have this kind of event. And nothing was there. And I was originally actually thinking I was going to do like a 24-hour like telethon, because I thought that would be really fun. And then I realized, oh, wait, let's just make it a four-day conference. And so eventually it turned into this 40 hours from Thursday, May 28th to May 31st, Thursday through Sunday. It's 10 hours a day from 12 in the afternoon to 10 at night Eastern time. It's going to be available on Twitch at twitch.tv/pitcherlist. You can follow me on Twitter at pitcherlist, and we'll be hosting it via Periscope there as well. So it's going to be one-hour presentations each. I'm so excited about this. It's completely free to watch. We'll also be fundraising for Feeding America. 50% of everything that we raise will go to that. And of course, there are prizes too. There are a lot of people that were super generous inside the industry. We have a list, I think, of about 40 prizes that we're giving away. And it's not tied to contributing. If you want to contribute, that's awesome. It's fantastic. But if you just want to be there to watch a free conference and get some prizes, hopefully, that's great too. So we have a whole list of those. They range from PL merch to subscriptions at Baseball HQ and RotoWire and Razzball and all these fantastic places. People draft teams with you. It's a really, really fun event. So many smart people. We have Pitching Ninja and Enosaurus and I doing a presentation, which I feel really guilty. But I'm like, you know what? I'm running the presentation. I'm going to be on that panel. We have John Boy Media coming. We have Jason Benetti of the Chicago White Sox. I'm going to sit down with him and talk about what it's like being inside the booth and his whole story, which is incredible. It's just so many smart people in the industry. It blows my mind that we're doing this thing. So we're really excited about it. Thursday, May 28th at noon Eastern time is when it starts. And I really can't wait for this weekend.
Yeah, I think that the timing may actually be perfect because I think honestly, one way or the other, the timing is going to be perfect. On the positive side, if by Thursday or Friday we get some sort of resolution as to what is going to happen, it does open up a very big door for us to run through and start what I think is a brand new conversation about the 2020 fantasy baseball season. Conversely, if the season is over, it gives us that opportunity, I think, to vent for a few days. And I do feel, Nick, that there will be a season. I'm not going to play the negative side of this, but we do have to at least explore that possibility that these sides cannot get this thing worked out from either a medical perspective or a money perspective. That does exist. That possibility exist. So hopefully that ends up happening. All right, so real quick before you go, Nick, tell people about Pitcher List real quick. We got about 2 minutes to go and how people can follow you on social media and get a little bit of a leg up as far as fantasy pitchers in 2020.
Sure. So Pitcher List is a site with everything you'd want baseball, a pitcher gift database, so you can actually see every single pitcher. We have a whole podcast network. We've been doing a thing interviewing pitchers recently with Dan Straley, Luke Weaver, Caleb Smith, Pablo Lopez, Matthew Boyd, just to name a few. So definitely search for that on Google and take a listen. But yeah, during the season, we have recaps of every single day, go over every single pitcher for the night before and how that should affect your fantasy teams, batter's box as well for hitters. Every kind of content you'd want for fantasy baseball, it is there. But give us a follow at Pitcher List on Twitter, at Pitcher List as well on Instagram. And I look forward to seeing you guys there at PitchCon this weekend.
Awesome, Nick. Thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks again.
All right, Nick Pollock with us here on Fantasy Sports Today. PitchCon is this weekend. It is a nice event. I'm honored to be asked to be a part of it. My presentation, if you can call it that, my conversation is probably more along the lines of doing this show and bringing the game of fantasy with a twinge, of course, of reality, of being able to report some of the things that are happening inside the game and having that discussion. Of course, follow at Pitcher List for Nick and Alex and all the great people that are over there doing the job that they do covering fantasy baseball and especially from a pitching perspective. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today in just a couple of minutes. Joe Pizzapia will join us back here on the show as we dive more into the topics of the day. Lots of news to cover. NHL is back and lots of other things happening as well. Don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Have no fear. Joe and I will be right back here on Sports Grid tomorrow from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And before we had Nick on the show, for those of you who just tuned in, go back and watch on demand. You could see Joe and I were talking about the running back position and rushing yards and the way the league is trending. And Joe is just so excited to provide this information. We can take a look at this data because nobody loves being right more than Joe Pizzapia in this world.
It doesn't happen very ever, according to Craig Mish. So if it never happens, I got to once in a while be right.
You're so excited to say it, people have no idea what they're about to see unless they tell them.
You want
to
set it? You set this.
So thing. I'll start. So basically, what we're looking at here is Derrick Henry's total amount of yards, total amount of yards, okay, 1,500, right? 1,500 yards.
Not total amount of yards, rushing yards.
Right, but for what we were discussing on FanDuel was the total amount of yards rushing and receiving for
Derrick
Henry.
Oh, I thought we were just then we have to hold the phone. I thought that was his rushing total. You presented
it is, but for the sake of argument, let's continue. Let's say
his all-purpose numbers are different because you've got to talk about
honestly. Derrick Henry only rushes for 100 or 200 yards a year. So
you mean
let's just say
100 or 200 yards a year.
So for the sake of argument,
you mean receives, right? Correct. I just want to make sure I'm following you. You mean receives? You just said rushing only 100 and 200 yards. You mean to say receives?
Only a couple hundred receiving.
I was trying to set everybody properly of where everyone's coming from before we get off.
Right. So on FanDuel, what they're doing is they're not just giving you the straight rushing total. They're giving you both. They're giving you
If you're giving me all purpose, Derrick Henry yards, I will take the over on the 1,500. You presented it to me in that segment as the rushing total. Now, as the rushing total, I have a very strong opinion about the rushing number. I think 15 is going to be very hard for him to get 2 years in a row, but I think he's still going to lead the league in rushing, and that was my middle ground. You said everybody's either blowing up Derrick Henry's the greatest thing ever or Derrick Henry's the worst thing ever, and I'm not. I'm saying he's very, very good, but I think 1,500 is a lot of rushing yards. All-purpose yards, I think he's going to be around 1,400, so you add in the extra 200 receiving yards, which is probably what he's going to have, and he's going to be well over that, and that's an easy one. So just for clarification on my side, I want everybody to know where I stand on that too. So Okay. Where do you stand on rushing versus all-purpose yards of Derrick Henry?
Someone is going to rush for 1,500 yards next year. That would be my guess. Now, maybe the data will prove me wrong. So give me the data that shows me over
okay.
the last
Okay, well, the data in the discussion was, you have to reach somewhere around 1,500 or 1,500 or more in order to hit that league leading in rushing. Okay. So let's go over the last 5 years, because I think that's a really good trend. When you go back more than five, you're getting a little crazy here. But five, I think, is solid. You have some that are on your side, but some are on mine. 2015, Adrian Peterson led the league in rushing with 1,485, under 1,500. The next year, Ezekiel Elliott, 1,631. Awesome, incredible year, over that number. The next year, Kareem Hunt led the league in rushing with just 1,327. Okay. The next year, Ezekiel Elliott again led the league in rushing, under 1,500 yards, 1,435. Last year, Derrick Henry just made it through 1,540. So you said the average is probably going to be over that, and it's actually not. The average is under 1,500 yards. The average, when you take the highs and the lows, is actually 1,480. And what I said was, I think...
Joe, that's really close to 1,500.
It's not. That's a whole other two games, potentially.
What? That's 20 yards.
Well, here's the thing. I'm sorry. The only 20 yards. So that's the average, right? So where are the guys in the terms of trend? We had up and down, up and down, up and down, right? What I'm saying is I think you can lead the league with less than 1,500 yards. You said, no, that can't be done nowadays. And I just showed you three of the last five.
You just did a really bad job.
I did not do a bad job. One, two, three of the last five
guys. Approximately what it's going to take to lead the league in rushing.
I'm curious. Is three more than two? Three of the last five led.
What is the average? The average tells you that it's going to take 1,500 yards.
Right, but I'm saying you can lead the league with under. And the average is underneath.
But not by about 20 yards. That's not a lot. Yards. That's one carry.
It's not one carry. It's
two, three, four. By four carries, five maybe.
The question was, how you must have 1,500 yards.
Pretty much.
And I'm saying you can lead the league in rushing with less than 1,500. You said, show me.
Not by
And
much.
I showed you three of the last 5 years. So you're saying that when a guy has 1,300 yards and leads the league in rushing, that's not a difference?
It's certainly possible for that to happen, but the most likely scenario is an NFL running back in over the last 5 years, and it's going to take approximately 1,500 yards to do it, not 1,300.
Now, what do the guys have in common that hit the above threshold? Number one, they were both named Ezekiel Elliott, and the other guy was Adrian Peterson, another bell cow running back that doesn't really exist in this era of the NFL.
So why couldn't Zeke do it again this year?
Because I just don't think the Cowboys need him to do it anymore. I think that's the difference.
Maybe not.
See how many yards Dak threw for last year?
I don't have the answer. To me, Raheem Mostert could rush for 1,700 yards. Well, that's the point. That's the point. The point is that nobody knows, and the data tells
you. I'll take that bet. You want to make a bet?
I'll bet you. Is the number.
I'll bet you that Raheem Mostert does not lead the league in rushing this year. I'll bet you that. Too many different guys.
What a great bet on your part. Yeah,
well, fantastic. You're the one throwing out anything can happen.
It could happen. Anybody could do it.
It's lame to say anything can happen and not back it up. That's as lame as me not holding true to what I'm saying, and I'm holding true to it, which is he can lead the league in rushing and not.
Okay, so you'll give me Raheem Mostert to lead the league in rushing? Okay, so then I'll tell you what we'll do. You'll give me the odds, right? Whatever, like 50 to 1. I'll bet like $100, and then if I win, then you're going to pay me
So now you want to work in your favor. So you're really not that confident.
My favor? That's the odds.
One shot?
I want the bet. I want the actual bet.
Well, if you're so confident.
Whatever Raheem Mostert's odds are, I'll take it.
You're going to make that wager at Caesars or wherever you're going to make that wager.
I'll make it with you.
Well, no, I want you to make it with somebody for real who could pay you off that big time wager. You feel so good that anything can happen.
I'm offering you the money. I'm offering it to you.
You're offering me the $100 or I got to pay you 50 to one on it. Sure.
I don't know what the odds are. I don't know. Whatever the odds are on Raheem Mostert, I will put my money where my mouth is.
Great. To lead the league.
I will offer you $100.
Awesome.
Is that fair?
Absolutely. I'm going to buy, I'm just going to buy hats with it. Just hats. And I'm going to become a DFS guy with all my hats.
And if Raheem Mostert wins,
wins the rushing title. Wins the rushing title. There you go.
If he wins, I love free money. You got to pay me out.
Yeah, I'll pay you out. A lot of money. I feel very comfortable with that. Yep. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. The first football wager, and it's not even June. Craig said he wouldn't do it, and he did. He did. Raheem Mostert.
Well, we
realize how many running backs.
If it's like 70 to 1, what are you going to do?
It doesn't matter what it is. It's a free $100. He's not leading the league in rushing. And I like Mostert. I think Mostert's got a lot of good return on investment fantasy value. Leading the league in rushing. To lead the league in rushing, you have to be number one, the only guy in that backfield, which Henry is. And you also have to play on a team where you are the focal point of the offense. And you know what? Ezekiel Elliott is the focal point of the offense, except for the fact that Dak Prescott is getting closer and closer to throw over 5,000 yards in a season. He has developed as a quarterback, and he has really come forward as a quarterback. And that means that, is he going to hand the ball off consistently? I don't know. Probably not. And also on top of that, I don't know how good the Cowboys are as a whole that they're going to pull away on games and just turn around and hand it to him. Plus, who knows? We saw some Tony Pollard last year all of a sudden, too, once in a while, and that did not sit well with Elliott.
All those things are feasible.
The only other guy you gave me was Dalvin Cook, who's hurt every single year. Dalvin Cook is another guy. If you're going to put your money on Dalvin Cook.
And I'll tell you something else that you should do. You should do personally to back up yourself and your own money, which I wouldn't bet this bet against you because I have no idea if it'll happen or not. It's a guess. But what you should do is, and maybe this is out already. I don't think it is. But in August, let's just say hypothetically, when FanDuel releases the number, they're going to have a number as the who leads the league in rushing, but the total amount of yards, the prop, to lead the league in rushing in the NFL. And if that number, Joe, is 1,300 yards, like let's say 1,310, 1,320, then I would come back to you at that time and say, man, like you were right, you know, because if that's the way that Vegas sees it. But I would think that they're probably going to
take. I think Vegas is going to give you a 1,400 number.
That's the reason why they have that number.
I think 15 is tough in this day and age in the NFL. The league has evolved even more in the last 3 years than it has in the last 10. Have you not seen what's going on here, Craig? I mean, I know you are because you're a great student of the game.
But every year there's surprises.
There are, but every year there's less and less bell cows. There's two guys who can give a run to Derrick Henry. Ezekiel Elliott's one, Saquon Barkley's the other. I don't think there is another one. You think it's Dalvin Cook? I beg to differ. It ain't Raheem Mostert. Go find me the other one. It's going to get 1,500 yards. It ain't Nick Chubb. I know he got close. I know he got it last year. Ain't going to happen.
Well, how many yards did you think Nick Chubb was going to rush for last year?
Last year? Mm-hmm. I thought he was going to be around 1,100. Okay. And he got more.
Would you say you were completely wrong about that?
Completely? Yeah. I mean, got well more.
Pretty much, right? Is it possible that you'll be completely wrong on some player this year, Joe? It could happen.
But that's so weird to cherry pick one thing I was wrong about.
Well,
how come
I'm
you don't give me credit about
you
when
on
I said
Chubb? I have no idea. I was a guest.
So when I said that Derrick Henry was going to lead the league in rushing last year and I was right, where's the credit go for that? Because I said it on this show, on my podcast, on a lot of places in the back book. So it's only when I'm wrong that we can throw it in my face.
It has nothing to do with that. It's the ability to recognize that everything is not black and white. There could be a Nick Chubb in the NFL that we don't know who he is.
There could, however,
come out of nowhere to lead the league in rushing and rush
for 1,500
yards.
Did Nick Chubb lead the league in rushing last year?
But he almost got 1,500 rushing yards.
Almost isn't good enough. Almost isn't the title.
Very close.
Have you ever finished second? Is it different than finishing first? I'm curious. Is it different money that you get for finishing first and second? Do you like being the most popular show on Sports Grid or the second most popular show on Sports Grid? I thought number one mattered to you, Craig. Doesn't it?
He was 6 yards short. That is the flag you're planting on Nick Chubb that he missed it by 6 yards. That's your take? My God.
Right is right.
It shows you, Joe.
So what? So you have to win a championship by, oh, I don't know, a million points. 1 point doesn't make you a champion by winning.
You held your hat for 30 minutes on this show that 1,500 yards is unattainable.
Not unattainable, unlikely. There's a big difference. I never said unattainable. That's idiotic. He attained it last year. That's the dumbest thing in the world. I never said that at all. I said unlikely.
Josh Jacobs could rush for 1,900 yards. No. Then. It's possible. No, you don't know. Nobody knows.
No, he can't. Not with that offensive line. No way.
All right. On that note, we got to wrap things up here on the show. It's an argument that there was no winner. That is for sure.
There's no winners here.
The only winner is you guys who get to shut us off. That'll do it for the show. Thank you again to Brett for producing the show. Thank you to Ryan and Danny as well. For Joe, I'm Craig. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, right here on Fantasy Sports Today. Have a great night, everybody. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.